You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, friends, to the Locked On Jets podcast as we start a new week on this Monday, May 14th, 2018. I am John B. from GangreneNation.com. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to it. iTunes and Spotify are your two best options. And if you really enjoy the show, leave us a good review in iTunes. We certainly do appreciate it. We keep moving along through the spring, and you know, before you know it, we're going to be at Memorial Day. It'll be summer. Can't wait. I really can't wait. And hopefully a nice summer after what was not a beautiful spring weather-wise here in the Northeast. I think we could all use a nice summer. Hopefully a summer that's not too hot, but with some nice weather, nice beach weather. Yeah, I already can't wait. Today we're going to talk wild cards on the Jets roster, and there are a number of players who could either be really good for this team or might not be big-time contributors. We're going to talk about them today, and in many ways, they will help shape the fate of the 2018 New York Jets. And yes, we've done shows that are similar to this at other points during the offseason, but the offseason's a living, breathing organism. Teams continue to add players. They continue to subtract players. You have free agency, you have trades, then at the end you have the draft. So this is our post-draft edition, and it probably is the final version. As we always say, yes, it's possible to add players between now and the start of the season, but you can't really count on being able to add players. If anything happens, if you were able to upgrade your roster between now and the start of the season, you got lucky. You caught a break because some team is making a late trade or somebody got cut, maybe there's a surprise cut, maybe there's a contract dispute, or maybe there's a late free agent out there. You know, there's still guys out there who might be able to help teams this year. They're not guys who are terribly highly regarded. In many instances, they'll have question marks. Maybe they're coming off an injury. Maybe age has depreciated their market value. But for the most part, we know who's going to be on the Jets. We know who the big players are going to be on the Jets. So I'm going to give you five players whose performance in 2018 is, it falls into a wide range. You know, you wouldn't be shocked if they played really well. You wouldn't be shocked if they provided you maybe less value. So these are five guys I'll name. And at number five, I'm going to talk about one of the new additions, one of the guys who came in through the NFL draft. Although he wasn't drafted, the Jets actually traded for him. And it was a trade that was very easy to miss if you weren't paying attention. You know, late day three, I couldn't blame you if you turned it off. I'm not saying because of anything the Jets did. I just think by the time you get to the end of day three of the draft, it's not that interesting. You don't really know any of the prospects. You're not expecting these guys to contribute big rookie years. And I don't think the draft's that interesting to watch to begin with. I got to be honest with you. After night one, if I didn't do what I do, I'm not sure I'd be watching the draft. And I love the NFL. I love the Jets. I just don't think it's that interesting. Now, of course, I have to watch it because of what I do, but I just don't think it's that interesting. I don't think it's a commentary on you as a fan if you decide to turn it off day three. I just don't think it's that fascinating of an exercise. You can follow it on your phone. You can check it out the next day. It's not like you're missing a game. But the Jets made a trade. I digress. Anyway, rants about day three of the draft, the boringness, over. Late day three, the Jets traded a seventh-round pick to the Indianapolis Colts for a defensive lineman, Henry Anderson. And actually an interesting move because Anderson is a pretty good player. He's a guy who's a solid starter on the defensive line. And the Colts traded him away because, you know, new coaching staff, so questions about how he fits the scheme. And, I mean, my thing's always, and I understand to a certain extent, but, you know, you got good players. Scheme around that. But the Colts decided to trade him, and he's a guy. The Jets did have a need on the defensive line. You know, it's so easy to forget because you got to a point where you just took for granted. You felt like the Jets had a good defensive line. Well, in this case, it really wasn't the case heading into this offseason because you're getting rid of Muhammad Wilkerson, who, by the way, I mean, that was pretty much addition by subtraction, if we're going to be honest. Wilkerson really, I mean, the defensive line was not an overwhelming strength last year, and Wilkerson's lack of performance had a lot to do with that. So the Jets drafted Nathan Shepard in the third round, but then they made the trade for Anderson. Anderson in the last year of his rookie contract. Again, guy who's been a good, pretty good run stuffer throughout the course of his career. Now, the issue has been, can he stay on the field? He's had problems with, now he had a fairly freaky injury, a laryngeal injury, so that's kind of a freak occurrence, but also had a torn ACL, had some knee issues that have both prevented him, both cost him some time, and a lot of Colts observers feel like decreased the quality of his play a little bit. Good run stuffer, but you know, I don't think you could ignore the fact that he has played 29 out of a possible 48 games in his career. So, I mean, I think there are issues with that. There are question marks with that. There are question marks, maybe not issues, question marks with that. Can he stay on the field? And he's the type of guy the Jets are going to look to buy. He's essentially a guy who's going to try and buy them some time because, again, they drafted Nathan Shepard third round. And listen, the Jets would be thrilled if Nathan Shepard was able to contribute something as a rookie. They'd be thrilled. They're hoping for it. But I always talk about it. There's a difference between hoping something happens and saying, I'm going to count on that happening. And I think the Jets are well advised to not put themselves in a position where they're counting on it because, again, third round pick, small school guy. Now, a guy who you typically think very raw, small school guy, not necessarily. I mean, I think Shepard's a little more refined than people give him credit for, but fundamentals kind of can go at points if you're a little overwhelmed. And by overwhelmed, I mean he's used to being the most dominant player on the field. I mean, you watch some of his footage on college. I mean, he was a man against boys for a lot of his college career. So he's going to now be facing a much higher quality of competition. Will he be, you know, will that take some adjustment? If it does, you know, maybe he gets a little, maybe he feels a little out of place and maybe loses some of his technique a little bit. This addition gives the Jets a chance to kind of reduce Shepard's snaps as a rookie. It gives them a chance to buy them some time. And then, you know, hopefully year two, year three, year four, you'll get contributions out of him. And we've talked about this before. Third round picks usually are not going to be big time contributors. If you get some contribution out of them, that's usually a win. So Anderson's a guy who can help the Jets on the defensive line. And a defensive line of Anderson, Steve McClendon, Leonard Williams has a chance to be pretty good on paper. That is a solid line because after this addition. So can he stay on the field? Can he produce? You know, can he find the form he had before the knee injuries? You know, with a little extra time to heal, a little extra time to get right. So I consider him a wild card. Now, the next guy I'm going to mention is a wild card, but for a different reason. With Anderson, there's potential, you know, if the injury bug strikes again, that you're not going to get much out of him. Now, at the same time, he didn't give up a whole lot to get him, but the next guy I'm going to name is a wild card for a little different reason. We know, at the bare minimum, you're probably getting a solid player. The question is, how good will it be? Will it get better than solid? And that's Jamal Adams, the second-year safety out of LSU. And the question with Adams is this. This Jets defense needs some game-changing talent. They need top-end talent. They need top-end contributions. And Adams is the guy I look at as somebody who could potentially give them that. There are not many safeties in the NFL who you'd say that's a game-changing type of player. That's a guy who really forces the offense to adjust to what they're doing. There's a reason the Jets picked Adams sixth overall. They don't just want a guy who's a nice safety, who's, you know, a nice solid player. They want a game changer. And listen, rookie year, I'm not going to get on a rookie who I think he had a solid year for a rookie safety. I understand you want him to grow to be better. Look, you get a guy who's a solid starter as a rookie. Yes, I understand. Top 10 pick, you're expecting him to contribute right off the bat, but you could do worse than Adams did as a rookie. But now year two, expectations are different. If you get the same thing you got year two from Adams as you got year one, that becomes an issue. What you want is you want that guy, and I said this last week, you want the guy you saw week three against Miami, going around making plays, covering when somebody else blows an assignment, getting into the backfield, you know, getting his hands on the football. And, you know, he's a guy who people get on him for the lack of, I'm sorry, I totally disagree with people who are crushing him for lack of interceptions. And Adams, I think Adams tweeted something out about Troy Polamalu's interception total. And, I mean, Adams is not, if you follow Adams' Twitter account, he's not lacking in confidence, and like I don't have a problem with that. I you know what, you can say whatever you want, I just hope you go back, you get, but you said, if you talk, you got to back it up on Sunday. And I think that's, but I think it's true of Adams anyway. The Jets need Adams to be a game-changing type player for them this year. They need him to take that next step. And I mean, Troy Polamalu is a very high bar to set, but I think he can be, I mean, I don't know that he's going to be Troy Polamalu. Troy Polamalu was, in my opinion, a generational type player, but he can be a Pro Bowl type player. He can be an impact player at the safety position. So that's what you're looking for out of Adam, because if this defense is going to get to that next level. This is going to be a good defense. There have to be spots where you have really high-end talent. Yes, you need role players. You need your Jordan Jenkins of the world. You need your Steve McClendon's of the world. You need those guys. But then those are important players. Those are guys who help hold the fort down. But you also need impact. You need top-end talent, guys who are going to make plays, guys who are going to be impact players. And a guy like Adams who maybe can cover for guys when somebody blows an assignment, he gets in the way, he flies to the ball. That's what you need. I think the range for Adams, if he stays healthy, is probably somewhere between solid starter and impact player. The Jets need impact player. Now, the next guy I'm going to name is a much wider range of outcomes. I mean, nothing would surprise me with this guy, and that's Terrell Pryor, who is coming in on another one-year deal. He had one last year with Washington. It was a disaster. 2 years ago against Cleveland, he was pretty productive. So we'll see what you can get out of Pryor. Converted college quarterback, and Pryor, I'll tell you something, if Pryor can turn into a solid starter, this becomes a very good group of receivers, because you got Pryor and Anderson on the outside, you got Enunwa to work the middle of the field. So the question is, what can you get out of Pryor? Is he going to be the guy who was, and he was hurt last year, but if you listen to anybody in Washington, it wasn't just the injuries. I mean, he was a bad fit every possible way, he really did a bad job. Can he give you something? You know, and the Jets have actually given themselves a lot of options at wide receiver. I think the Jets have actually handled the wide receiver position pretty well. Now, your top two guys come with various question marks, but you have a solid guy in Jermaine Kearse, who's a nice insurance policy if Pryor isn't good to go. You got a couple young guys in there. You've got, and other than the young guys, you've got Chad Hansen, you got Ardarius Stewart, you got Sherron Peak, guys who people like to varying degrees. I think of those three, Hansen would be the guy I have my eye on most. And I'll tell you, maybe I'm just being filled with too much optimism, too much offseason optimism, but I am kind of cautiously optimistic about Hansen. I don't know what it is. There's just something about it, about Hansen, that makes me feel like maybe he can be a player in this league. Maybe I've watched too much of his Cal footage. And I think it's pretty clear he's jumped Stewart in the hierarchy of the wide receiver position. If you're paying close attention, I think, it seems like Hansen's above Stewart in the coaching staff, and that's just my prognosticate. Nobody said anything, but that's just kind of the impression I'm getting, which is notable because Stewart, of course, was a third-round pick. Hansen's a fourth-round pick, so usually guys picked higher. It's higher in the viewpoint of the coaching staff, but Hansen is the guy. But Pryor's another option. Pryor's a guy who is not costing the Jets much, and there is a chance to get some production out of him. It could turn out to be a bargain. If it doesn't work out, you haven't cost yourselves a whole lot. I think it was, for in terms of risk-reward, it's a pretty good move. I think it's a low-risk, moderate reward. And if Pryor produces, then I like this wide receiver position. I think you've given Sam Darnold a good group of not great tight ends, but good wide receivers, solid backfield. You've given them some tools to work with. This is not going to be Geno Smith 2013 redux, which is nice, which is certainly something Jets fans should be happy with. We've named three of our five wild cards today, and our last two guys are the quarterbacks. I'm going to name two quarterbacks for you. One is Teddy Bridgewater, and I think the reason he's a wild card is rather obvious. He's coming off serious knee injury. He had really not played. I mean, he had a brief cameo last year, mop-up duty for Minnesota, but really has not played for 2 years. Last time he was really on the field in the competitive setting was that wild card game, that terrible loss for the Vikings against Seattle back during the 2015 playoffs. And, of course, he suffered that catastrophic knee injury, which, I've read, actually, amazingly enough, a knee injury, it was apparently a freak thing. I've read it was a life-threatening thing. I've read he was at risk of losing his leg. Really just unfathomable how bad that injury was. The fact he's back on the NFL field at all is pretty remarkable and something to be celebrated. Now the question is, what can he do? And Bridgewater was not really a guy who was ever a scrambler. He was not a guy who was, you were going to design a lot of runs for, but he did utilize functional mobility pretty well. And, he had a good year with a really shaky offensive line in 2015 with Minnesota. I mean, that was a bad offensive line, and he acquitted himself pretty well. And he used his legs there. So the question is, how much of his mobility is gone because of the injury? How much will that, in fact, can he compensate for if he has lost mobility? And what's his career going to look like? Because if you look at his early days, there were some things that gave you legitimate optimism. He could be a franchise quarterback. And then there were some things, there were some question marks, because Minnesota was a heavily based run team around Adrian Peterson. And how were the 2 years off going to impact his development? Because losing 2 years of important developmental time could have an impact. So lots of questions around him. And I think Bridgewater's status is less important now with Sam Darnold, because as I've said, I think Bridgewater was kind of a hedge that the Jets signed him, because the Jets did not know. I think the Jets knew they were drafting a quarterback. They didn't know which quarterback they were drafting, though. And it was very possible they'd draft a guy who was not ready to start in 2018. It was quite plausible, because at the time they agreed to this deal, Sam Darnold did not, they didn't even trade it up with the Colts yet. They had not even traded up to the third pick. So it was quite plausible, either at six, or maybe they pass on a quarterback at six and take someone later on, that they were going to end up with a guy who was not ready to play. It was going to be a longer term type project than we expect Sam Darnold to be. So to some extent, it's kind of academic, but it's also possible Bridgewater can go play well. He can give the Jets, you know, a nice bridge to Darnold. If Darnold's not ready, he could start the season. If not, though, if he shows he can play in preseason, maybe you're able to work out a trade with somebody. Maybe if some other team sees the knee is stable and somebody suffers an injury like the Vikings did with Bridgewater 2 years ago, maybe Bridgewater becomes a potential trade target. Now, with the situation, there's always going to be some degree of uncertainty. I don't see the Jets getting a first-round pick for Bridgewater, but if you can get something in return for him, I mean, this is a guy you pretty much signed for cost you nothing to sign. It was an incentive-laden deal. So maybe you can work out a trade and restock some of the draft capital you lost when you traded up for Darnold. So that's another option. That's another reason he's a wild card, which brings us to the final wild card, which is Darnold himself. And I really like Darnold. I've made no secret what I think of Darnold. And, you know, you can't say, oh, you're being a homer, because I told you draft day I'd be very happy with Darnold. I've told you throughout the offseason what I think of Darnold. I love his long-term potential. The question is, how good is he going to be, how quick? I think there are questions about whether he's going to be ready to play on day one. If he is, and we talked about this in the mailbag last week, the path to a big-time Jets season, I'm talking playoffs, and I don't think this necessarily is a playoff or bust year. I don't think with a rookie quarterback, third overall, this is a playoff or bust year. This is still a building year. But if Darnold is really as good as advertised, he takes the Jets to a different level. The quarterback changes everything, you know. People talk about, when a rookie quarterback struggles, they talk about his surroundings. You know, these are the things that are hurting. The quarterback really drives the discussion, though. A good quarterback isn't dragged down by his surroundings. A good quarterback lifts his team up, takes his team to the next level. We know Darnold can be a playmaker. There's some questions about some concept. You know, he's going to have to learn some new concepts. He's going to have to get more comfortable with certain things. He's going to have to protect the ball a little better than he did in college, but he's got playmaking ability, and if he's a quick learner, and so far, I mean, you look at his career path, he looks like a pretty quick learner if you look at, you know, what he did, what he's done before entering the pros. It just changes the season for the Jets. It makes everything different, and it could change this franchise. This is a pick the Jets are counting on. They've told you they're counting on this pick to impact their franchise for years to come, but maybe it'll be as early as 2018 depending on Darnold. I mean, if he's ready to play, and he doesn't need to be great as a rookie to be able to be ultimately a successful pick. I mean, this is a long-term, this is a 10 to 15-year proposition. Just picked him to be great for the long run, but I don't think they'd complain if he was great early. And if he is, it changes what 2018 can be for the Jets. Thank you for listening. That'll do it for today. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you enjoy the show, subscribe, iTunes, Spotify, two great options if you want to do so, and leave the show a good review in iTunes. Have a great Monday. We'll talk again tomorrow.